All right, we are back, and my pleasure to bring on now Coach Paul Ingram, former Gloucester High School head coach for quite a few years, and Massachusetts High School Football Coaches Hall of Famer, and coaching in so many places for so long. Paul, how are you doing?
Well, I guess I'm doing as well as everybody else. It's kind of a unique atmosphere, and, you know, kind of staying close to home, so... it's kind of sad. I feel bad for these kids. You know, seems like there's no continuity to life anymore here with, the way schools are set up and going to school, not going to school, and then practice routines for sports. So, I don't know. I feel bad for them. That's for sure.
Paul, you stay in contact with a lot of former coaches, a lot of former students as well as coaches. And I know Adam Philpott is one of your former players, and he's going to be the new basketball coach at Gloucester High. Are there other former students that you've been able to connect with, let's say, since March or last football season?
Well, a few of them. I think, to be quite honest, I think a lot of them have moved out of the area just to try something new. I think that they're, you know, it was probably a tough winter for all of them. And I know four or five have moved out to California, and just trying to see what it's like out there and kind of get a different, perspective on life. So they're working, they're able to do jobs from, other locations. So that's happened. You know, I haven't talked to Mike Tomeno. He's a football coach in Roxbury Latin, and I don't know how he's doing with this whole situation. What's the word on basketball? Is Adam said anything about it's going to happen?
Yeah, I just talked with Jim Rudloff, and I'm going to put that interview on tomorrow. But Jim said be sure to say hi to Coach Ingram, and he speaks so highly of you, Paul. But one of the things he was mentioning was the kids got a real lift. The football players did. When it was announced that basketball and hockey are on, they plan to play. Their plans, you know, there should be a season. You know, of course, that's now. That's today, and it's, you know, it's up in the air. But as of right now, hockey and basketball are scheduled to begin. I'm not exactly sure when, but they are going to play. And by hearing that, the football players got a real positive lift because that gives them a better chance, hopefully, for them to play. You know, at the end of February.
Right, yeah. Well, that's good news. Hopefully, you know, we get things under control and, you know, the vaccines become available and we can get back to somewhat normal atmosphere around high school sports anyways.
Yeah. Tim?
So, Paul, what have you been doing with your time here?
Well, I haven't really gone away. I joined Bass Rocks Golf Club in Gloucester probably about 20 years ago, and I was on the Board of Governors for a while, and then I became the vice president for 2 years, and then the president, and last two years I've been president. I gave it up in June. So actually, I went to all the committee meetings, so it really kept me busy. And it was good stuff. I really kind of enjoyed it, and I enjoyed the different people in the committees and, you know, the operation of the golf club. I really got involved in that. And so that was kept me busy. Playing a little golf keeps me busy. And, you know, I just find odd jobs to do, I guess, around the house.
Have you been able to get down to the Cape at all?
Yes, I've been down a couple of times. You know, unfortunately, a lot of times in this day and age, it's bad news. You get together for, you know, medical situations or for funerals. But, yeah, I went down and saw some of my high school friends, but, you know, they're all in the same boat down there, too, kind of sticking close to home and, you know, sports being up in the air. I know that one of the people that I visit was big into the Cape Cod Baseball League, and they've always had a player stay at their house. I'm not sure, you know, what's going to happen in the future for that, too. They really were great sponsors.
Yeah. All right, let's go to some football beyond high school. What can Bill Belichick do to get some stability with the team?
You really want my opinion?
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, I've watched a couple of games, and I'm not sold on Cam Newton.
Thank you.
One, huh?
Thank you. I feel the same way.
Well, you know, yesterday he had five passes blocked. And that, if you're just looking and looking and looking, you know, in the same direction, obviously, you know, you're eventually going to throw there. And it's, you know, you've got to use your eyes to throw some deceit into the defensive backs. You kind of look people off. And I played quarterback in college, and certainly I was like 5'10 and a half. And I don't even remember. You find, you know, these windows to throw the ball through. But it just, one of my things when I was coaching quarterbacks was, you know, throw a catchable ball. Throw a ball that someone's going to catch. And, you know, to me, everything, it seems like it's, you know, it's too high, too low, behind. And if they do catch it, it's not usually in stride. And I just don't think his accuracy. And, you know, he's certainly 6'6", 6'7". I just don't understand it, but, you know, you've always got to depend on the people around you too. I mean, you got to have good line play. You got to have somewhat of a running game, and you got to have receivers that get open. So it's probably a combination of a lot of things, but his accuracy, I question.
Well, you know, you watch him throw. He doesn't throw with a snap of the wrist. It's all push. I mean, it shows how strong his arm is that he can push the ball down the field as far as he does. But, I mean, there's no really kind of baseball motion, you know, where his elbow is up, his arm's extended, he follows through. It's just a push of the ball that drives me crazy to watch.
Yeah, I haven't really examined that much, but I know that when you overthrow people, it's you're throwing off your back foot.
Oh,
your weight is back. Yeah, I notice that a lot. He underthrows and overthrows a lot. And it's, you know, when you're in the, it's one of the tough things to do at quarterback is when you're in the pocket is to step forward because you're going to put that weight on that, being right-handed, you're going to put that weight on that left foot. And that left knee locks in, and you get hit there, and it's, you know, it's certainly not a good thing, but you can't throw off your back foot. The ball sails on. It just tends to, you know, go 3-4 feet higher than anticipated.
Paul, talk about that, because you were a quarterback's coach, and for many years, every quarterback you coached ended up being one of the best passers in the NEC, and I go back to, was it Paul Coleman? And do I have the name right, Paul Coleman? And Duke St. Pierre, and there was another player over there too. I can't remember. Was it Perrone? I can't remember. There was another player over at Danvers. But tell me about that in teaching kids how to do that, because technique is something with a football, a baseball. It's easy. The baseball is small, but a football's big.
Well, yeah, and it's important to, you know, at a young age start gripping the ball right and throwing it right. And, you know, part of the problem too is getting a ball that your hand can fit around. But one of the things that I see with the younger kids when I get them when they're a little bit older is, when you throw a baseball, you know, if you're going to throw a curveball, you know, you turn your wrist in towards your body. Mm-hmm. Well, a football is the exact opposite. Actually, your wrist turns outward.
Mm-hmm.
So that index finger releases the ball last. And I find that a lot of the young kids throw a football like they would throw a baseball, and it doesn't work. You've got to eventually get that finger and wrist to turn outward. And, you know, the proper grip on the ball, and a lot of kids, I think you see this with all kinds of ball sports, is they tend to, you know, grab the ball at the palm of their hand, and it's really your fingertips.
Right.
You don't want to palm the ball. And that was another issue with the kids. But, you know, if you get them young, and I found that, you know, like with the instance with Tom Brady, former catchers really have a nice quick release and strong arm. And I thought a lot of those kids, Brett Cahill, quick release, strong arm, and also you got to have toughness to stay in there too.
Coach, one of the things we want to talk about tonight is Thanksgiving, and you go back to your days as an assistant coach in Danvers and in Beverly and in Gloucester, and then on to your head coaching days. And what was it like coaching in the different places, the atmosphere for Thanksgiving? And I mentioned those three communities, but we could also throw in Falmouth. What were some of the similarities or differences when that last regular season game ends, and then you got to prepare a week and a half for your Thanksgiving Day game?
Well, it was always special. And the thing was that I've always been a part of good rivalries. Like at Falmouth, we played Barnstable. And, I mean, we get 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 people at the games. And it just really meant a lot between the two towns. And then, you know, Danvers-Gloucester, it wasn't that big of a rivalry at first, but I think it's gotten that way now where, you know, it's a pretty tough game and usually both teams are doing well during the season. I will say that I coached at Beverly one year and I just couldn't believe the Beverly-Salem game. It really was unique.
It still is.
Yeah, I mean, the crowd and you know, I've only attended one game when I was an assistant coach with Roger Rosinski, but certainly was kind of an exciting atmosphere. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, when I first started dating my wife, of course, she's from Beverly, and Billy Haber was coaching there, and I get to get out and prowl along the sidelines and over in Salem. I mean, the intensity was just insane. I mean, you could literally feel the electricity as you walked along the sidelines there.
Yeah, and especially if it's a close game, it's really exciting. But I think I've talked about this before with you guys is, you know, Thanksgiving is so different and, you know, you look so forward to it and you have those extra days, you know, that first week, you know, you kind of plan. We did some things with the kids. We went bowling. You know, we tried to do some team bonding things. And then certainly the night before the game, we would have a big meal and we had this thing called the burning of the shoe. And we did it at Springfield College where you take an old football shoe, not like the new ones, but, and you'd soak it in kerosene and then light it on fire under the goalpost. And the seniors would talk about, you know, what football meant to them. And it was really, you know, a nice time. You know, some kids, it was a real big part of their life and they really, really did a great job talking about it.
Paul, we don't have you on enough, and I miss working with you on Friday evenings when we can talk some of the stuff over. But I think my final topic would be the coaching fraternity because, you know, you started with I remember when I first met you and you were talking about Bob Yates, who had moved up here from Falmouth, and then so many of the other coaches you work with, Ernie Smith and Bruce Jordan, and it just goes on and on and on. And reflect a little on that coaching fraternity, but also the coaches you work with at Gloucester High School, too.
Well, you know, I've remained close to a lot of the coaches. Most of them that I've coached with now have gotten out of out of coaching, and I see Ernie Smith quite a bit, and you know, I will see Roger Day, and I see some coaches that are out of the area that I see through different things I'm involved with. So we certainly do have a lot of respect for each other, and you know, to be quite honest, a lot of times we tease each other about games and losses and play calls and all this stuff. So there's usually a pretty good camaraderie there. You know, the Gloucester guys, you know, it's funny, this COVID thing. I mean, Tony Zerilli took over for me, I used to see him and Mike Ladoff and all my assistants, and it just seems like right now it's everybody's kind of hunkered down, and you know, but I assume once that football gets going and you can go to the games, you know, we'll all be sitting there and watching the games and get back involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like, you know, it's so far away now. It's been so long.
Well, one of the things that they can do once the football gets jammed into the tweener season that's going to be is they can somehow manage to schedule the traditional Thanksgiving Day rivalry as the final game.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Tim. I have a question for Tim. You know, if they put this football season in between basketball and baseball, what do you think the baseball players are going to do? Are they going to say, well, I don't want to go out for football, I'm going to work on baseball, because I'm kind of worried about that, the numbers of kids that are going to participate at that time of the year. And, you know, practicing in February outdoors is not exactly, you know, I mean, we had synthetic turf, but it's a difficult situation when it's so cold.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the coaches, you know, will react to when they say, you know, really, geez, with baseball right around the corner, you really can't afford to play football if you get hurt, da-da-da-da, there's no time to recover. I would never tell a kid not to play. Go and play. If you're going to get hurt, it's in the cards. You're going to get either hurt in the fall or you get hurt in the spring. And, you know, and if you're going into the senior year, you know, a lot of the kids who lost their senior year last year still got scholarships, still got offers from various colleges because they're all evaluated on their junior year. So if you've solidified your position as a player on the radar of coaches around the country, then you're still going to get an opportunity to play, I'm sure. But I think a lot of your better athletes, your high end, they may opt out, but I don't think they will. I think there's that competitive nature where I'm going to play as many sports as I can, and you know the MIA says you can play them all right back to back to back. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Even if they overlap. So I think you got to see the kids out there.
Well, I hope so.
I think
we're all kind of looking forward to it. You know, seeing some high school football.
Well, Coach, you're going to have to dress warm when we go up in the press box. It's going to be cold in some of those places in February and March.
Yeah, well, hopefully we get to do it.
We will get to do it.
Don't bring enough layers. Rick has some he can lend you.
That's right. I got more in the car, Paul, if you need them.
Yeah, he's even dressed warm with the heat on in his car.
That's right. That's right.
It's ridiculous.
Okay, go to... That's enough, Tim.
Phil Stacey and I are in the Bulls with shorts and t-shirts. and here's Rick with seven layers, and he's got the heater on going blast, full blast on the floor.
I know.
Okay, you guys can both go to your room now. Paul, I appreciate it. Listen, happy Thanksgiving, truncated and subdued as it might be, to you and your family, and we will talk again soon. Thank you very much, Coach.
Okay. Good to talk to you guys. Bye.
Talk to you, Paul.
Talk to you later, Paul.